Good evening, one and all. I know. Here we go. The set halfway through yet another week. Nearly July. Gone past the longest day of the year. Getting down to the shorter days. And, of course, the schools in America have more or less broken up. Of course, in England, they don't break up till the end of July. We only get like 6 weeks, not like 2.5 years like they do in America for summer vacation, or so it seems anyway. But I am here, and so is my guest. I say I'm here. I am suffering a bit of a summer cold, either too much air conditioning or playing with the baby or what have you. Anyway, I'm here, so I'm a little bit sniffly. So if I have to snop and give the old nose a big blow, you have to excuse me. I'll try and turn it off microphone. But I am here, and so is my guest. Now, one of the questions we normally start off early on in the show is, were you writing little stories as soon as you could hold a crayon in your hand? Well, my guest, she was a little bit more than that, because she was born into a family of writers. But we'll find out a bit more when I introduce her, because on the show today, I have the one and only Margot Johnson. Hi, Margot, how are you doing?
Hi, Barry. Fine, thank you. Thank you very much for having me join you tonight. I'm really looking forward to it.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yep, you're in Canada. When do they break up for summer vacation in Canada?
I think they're just about finished right now, depending on whether it's high school or elementary school.
Right.
But things are winding down. I think it's almost class party time.
Right, yeah. So you're more like the American holiday breaks than the UK ones. Okay, I just wondered, because I know, obviously, Canada is very much like UK in lots of things. In fact, that's one of the reasons I used to go there, was to get my UK food. But as I was saying at the beginning, I mean, a lot of people, they sort of write little stories when they're growing up and stuff like that. But you were born into it.
Yes, I was. My dad was a journalist, and one of my memories of him is sitting at the dining room table in the evening, typing away on his old-fashioned typewriter or making notes, and he encouraged me and my sisters to write all the way along. He also has a cousin, and there's a number of people on his side of the family who are all in that writing of fields.
Right.
The creative in the genes.
Exactly. The creative gene. This is what I say. I mean, whether it's a writer, a painter, a sculptor, whatever, there is a gene that just gives you that mental capacity, I guess, to create. And that's how it is, I think, anyway. Did you, interestingly, I mean, obviously, you were encouraged to read a lot. Were you encouraged to read the classics? Because a lot of people, especially in America, they call Anna Green Gables or Little House on the Prairie classics. That's not what I call classics, unfortunately. To me, it's like Treasure Island, Black Beauty, Little Women, Gulliver's Travels, all that sort of stuff. Did you read that sort of thing, or were you a sort of, I don't know, Little House on the Prairie person?
Yeah, well, as a young child, we were read to a lot, and so some of them would have been classics like Black Beauty that you mm-hmm. mentioned. Then as I grew up, my degree is in English, so I did all kinds of reading, like an entire Shakespeare class
at
university. But then when I had children of my own, we got into more of the Little House on the Prairie, Charlotte's Web, those kinds of stories. So, yeah, for a while I was really interested in writing children's stories myself.
Right, indeed, yeah. I know, I can understand that. I can relate to that, yes.
Yeah, and I...
Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
When you were talking about writing from an early age or having the writing gene, just recently my mom was cleaning out some old papers and things, and she found a little book that I wrote and illustrated when I was in grade 2.
There you go. That's what we're looking for. That's the big thing. That's the big thing that, I did. And the next question is, do any still exist? And there you go. We got it, and it does. The reason I ask is because, not so much on the writing thing, but I always imagine a painter, right, gets their first public exhibition and they're sort of showing their, they're painting an exhibition and people are walking around it. And their mother comes in and she goes up to these people and says, never mind this stuff. Look what she did when she was five. And there's the, the woman with sort of purple hair that's twice as big as the house and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I could just see that happening. But with an author as well. In fact, I had a lady who was a best-selling author at kindergarten once at a time, because she wrote a little story that they handed out to everybody at kindergarten. So I'm ever so glad you found some stuff. That's really good, because perhaps you can now look at that and bring it out as a fully-fledged novel, you see. That's the next thing.
Yes. It's a good thing, though, that I don't think I'm an illustrator, judging by that. I think I'm better with words.
Right. So, I mean, when did you start thinking that you might actually be able to produce a book of your own?
I always wanted to, and probably about 15 years ago, my sister, who's also a writer, and I decided that we should write a novel together.
Uh-huh.
So we had a lot of fun. We alternated chapters, and surprise each other with the little cliffhanger at the end of the chapter. So that was a lot of fun. So that was 15 years ago. Prior to that, I was writing a lot of picture books and got very close to having one published, but didn't quite. Then several years ago, my sister, who's a writer, started writing for Harlequin Love Inspired.
Okay.
And she really was the one who opened my eyes to the opportunities there are writing romance. It's pretty tough to get published in many genres unless you have an agent and unless you can break into one of the big publishers. But with romance, it's so popular, and there's some great publishers who are very welcoming to new writers. So that sort of gave me the push that, hey, maybe this is something I really can do.
Now, when your sister wrote for Harlequin, it surprised me, a couple of years ago, and we had somebody on who written the books were written by a group of people, not just one person who wrote the thing. They say sort of a group of people produce the book together. Is that what your sister does, or does she manage to do a whole book?
She does it on her own.
Wow.
I have heard that sometimes it's a pseudonym for a couple of authors.
Yeah.
But her name is Donna Gartshore, and in her case, she has written the books on her own.
Okay, cool. So is that where you decided to go into the romance side, or were you sort of just looking for inspiration? Oh, as you said, from children's books, to go into something a bit different.
Yeah, I chose romance. I like reading books myself that have a romantic element that aren't necessarily pure romance.
Mm-hmm.
I like, I guess some people would call it women's fiction.
Right.
But I just saw such an opportunity with romance. And, I mean, a well-written romance, it looks like it's easy and simple, but, of course, it's as challenging to write as anything.
Right, indeed. I mean, do you find that, I know I originally used to write short romance stories. In fact, there's a book I've got out called The Bathroom Book of Romance, because they're sort of 5-10 minute reads, and that could be the only place you get 5-10 minutes peace and quiet. And, when I sort of went to writing my YA stuff, I found partway through the romance was forcing itself back on my head, so I had to put a bit of romance in it as well. But one of the issues I came up against was, is it going to be a weepy or is it going to be a happy ending? Do you just do happy ending ones, or make people think it's not going to be a happy ending and have a happy ending? How do you do with yours?
Yeah, I think that part of true romance is to have a happy ending. But, of course, along the way, you want the reader to have doubts, and there have to be ups and downs, and things can't all be rosy from the start, or else it would be a pretty short and boring story.
Right.
so So yeah, that's the trick of it. I guess I think about the romantic comedy movies that you watch.
Yeah.
You know it's going to work out in the end, but you have no idea how, because along the way it can seem so impossible.
Yeah, yep, yep.
So
indeed.
It's kind of fun to come up with characters who are just so wrong for each other, and then it turns out that they really are right.
Yeah, I think that's the fun of the sort of not manipulating the characters, but making people think, yeah, what are these two? These two just can't go together. This is a ridiculous story. Yeah, this person's totally wrong for this woman, or this woman wrong for this man. And then the trick is, and obviously from what you said, yeah, what you do is to sort of show the people, the reader, that, hey, you know, perhaps you were wrong thinking that, and when you get down to it and into these people and understand these people, they actually are right for each other.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it is fun to see what the journey is like as they go along. Somebody once said, I thought this was interesting too, is be mean to your characters. So the characters are going along thinking, oh, maybe things are getting better, and then you have to throw those twists and turns.
Yeah,
up.
Oh, always got to have twists and turns. What did somebody said the other day? Oh, somebody said to me, cheer up, things could get worse. So I cheered up, and sure enough, they got worse. You know, But yeah. it's funny because like I was saying, you know, I did sort of do sort of originally my short romance stuff was all online, you know, and I used to sort of produce one every month and send it to people online and stuff like that. And funny enough, as we were saying about Toronto, I did I had a lady who used to, you know, used to send my stuff to in Toronto, and she contacted me one day after I sent a new one out, and she said, you did it to me again. I thought, well, what have I done there? You know, she says, I got to work. She says, my makeup was running down my face. My eyes are all red. She says, if it's going to be a weepy, you've got to let me know. So when I put the stuff in my book, and anyone that was a weepy, I put a little miniature box of Kleenex next to the title, just so that people knew.
Be ready with the water.
Exactly,
makeup.
Exactly. Yeah. So which was your first one? Love Takes Flight, was that your first one?
Yes, that was my first one. And that sort of the kernel of that idea came from a newspaper article I read, where I read about this pilot who proposed to his wife, his fiance, in a really fun way for a pilot to do it. So that kind of gave me the beginning of an idea.
Yeah.
And then the woman character, the heroine, owns a dog kennel. And I know really nothing about running a dog kennel, but I love dogs, and I knew I wanted to have dogs in my story. So that was where that story took off.
And I noticed that, you know, this on the cover of the book, there is not a golden retriever. Now, that's a bit bad when, you know, that's your dog and not there, missed out.
I know. And I wish now that I had spoken up and said, there has to be a golden retriever on the cover, but I guess I missed that opportunity.
Ah, well, on your third reprint, you can get it.
Yes, exactly. I'll know in the future.
So when your first book came out, one of the things that a lot of people, you know, they think, okay, I've written it and I've got a copy of the book in my hand. That's all the hard work done, and it's actually not. That's when the hard work starts. Did that surprise you how much work it entailed once the book was out?
I think it did a little bit. I had been told that authors need to do a lot of their own marketing, and I used to actually work in marketing. So
of course
I thought,
you did, yes,
oh,
yes, yes.
How exciting. I thought that would be maybe an easier thing for me, but of course I underestimated how huge and competitive the book market is, and how social media has impacted the way you
crikey,
promote.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so it has been an eye-opening and a huge learning curve, but it is part of the whole package. So
yeah.
It's a matter of trying to balance your time, because you want to be writing, I want to be producing new things, but I want to make sure that people know about the books that are out there.
Yeah, indeed, and I think that's. That's a very hard thing to do, to keep the writing and, you know, make sure you get the time to promote it, because, you know, either one way or the other, you're going to lose out, and the balance is a big thing. So you had, that was your first one, 2019, something like that, I think it was.
Yes.
And then your next one happened to be on my birthday, looking at it. Love Leads the Way. What's this one?
Yeah, this one is about, this is sort of close to my heart because I worked in leadership development for many years. This is about a man and a woman who meet each other through work. She runs the leadership development program, and he is forced into it because he's a brilliant engineer, but he is lacking in people skills. So he's forced to go to her class, and, of course, they clash over a number of issues, but in the end, or along the way, they find that they do share some things. And another element in the book that's woven in, and it sounds serious, but there's light moments too, is mm-hmm. that both of them have mothers who have Alzheimer's disease.
Right.
So they're dealing with dementia, and they both have dogs, because I think dogs are a wonderful part of every family.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So there's some ups and downs for them, but it is a workplace or an office romance.
Interesting, because, I mean, office romance, as you say, two opposite sides. You know, you get the technical side and the people side, as you do a lot of these days in different sort of, even different promotion ladders, finally now that you can go up either one sort of thing. There are several people, I was looking through some of your reviews and that, people who read your first one and were anxiously waiting for the next one to come out. That must be nice to know that, you know, you've got people sort of saying, when's the next one coming? When's the next one coming? Even though you're struggling to get it done, the fact that you know that people have been waiting for it, it must be a good feeling.
It is a great feeling. It is a great feeling. You know what I wish? If I had one wish with readers, is that more of them would actually post reviews, because that's how people hear about books, and they're interested to know what other people think of them. So I know there's a lot of people out there who've read the books, and if they would just post a review, that would be so wonderful and would help spread the word. And also would be good feedback for me as a writer.
Yep. I agree totally. I mean, good and bad, any feedback helps, I think. You know, some people say, oh, I never read a bad review, but you never know. That person might pick something up that everybody else missed, which happened in my case. One thing I found, especially with my YA stuff, is the YA bloggers. I call them the ShamWow of literature because I just soak everything up. And they're fantastic. And, if they do a review on their blog, you most likely got, I don't know, 100, 200 people who follow that blog, and the people read the review, and then you might have 10 people who think, this is really good. Perhaps I want to have a look at this and do a review. So they do a review, and then, you know, it just spreads around like that. And it's almost like a pyramid letter, but it is the way that, especially in the YA world, that people do that. And it does, as you say, it does help, you know, just a review, just even just an email from somebody to say how much they enjoyed it, or, you know, in one case I had that it went through three generations. I had the lady bought it for her son. She said he doesn't normally read, but he started reading your book, and he just sat there and read the thing right through. And so she said, well, I wanted to see what was going on. So I picked it up, and lunch was forgotten because I had to read it right through. And then the next day, the woman's mother read it as well, you know. Something like that just makes it all worthwhile.
Oh, it does. It's so rewarding. So rewarding, for sure. And, yeah, and we can just learn so much from it. I would rather hear somebody that had a criticism or didn't like it so that I would know and
exactly.
could learn from that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. I got like just over 100 reviews, I think, or something like that. But this is about the view 20, between 20 and 30, something like that. Somebody said, suddenly contact, you know, wrote in a review. You know, they liked it, but they said that the start of, say, I don't know, chapter 7 and the start of chapter 11 were very similar. Well, nobody had noticed it before or anything like that, and I had a look at it, and sure enough, they were. So I actually got the book taken off the shelf and edited it and re-put it back out again because, you know, but I if I hadn't have, somebody hadn't have put that, I would never have known.
Yeah, for sure. So that was really helpful.
Yeah. So you got the two. Are you working on anything else at the moment?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I actually have my third with the publisher right now. It's a novella.
Okay.
And it's gonna be really fun because the Wild Rose Press, who I write with,
yep.
is doing a Christmas cookie series.
That's right. So, that's right. I heard about that. Yeah.
Did you hear about that? So
yep.
my book is called, and the story must have a type of cookie in the title. So mine is called Let It Snowball, and it's a middle-aged couple, which is really fun for me because I can really relate to them.
Right.
Yeah, and Christmas season is fun, and she starts a Christmas tour business where they sample Christmas baking at different bakeries in the area.
Oh, nice.
And so, yeah, everything Christmas it's such a good feeling.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
I'm excited. That will come out in November.
Yeah. Yeah, who did I have yesterday? Crikey. Stara Andrews.
I
think she and somebody from last week or the week before, they got something for the Christmas one as well. So, yes,
yeah.
there's a few out there, you see. I pick up some of these things.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got that coming out and stuff like that. Are you happy doing these individual books, or do you think you might want to get into sort of like a series one day?
Definitely want to get into a series. My thoughts are I set the Christmas story in a small fictional town, and I have ideas for other characters from that town. So I think people like that. I know I do. When you get a character or a style of writing that you like, then you'll go and look for it. So,
do you
started?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, started back in my Nancy Drew book days
when
I read everyone I could get my hands on.
When you write a book, does the idea sort of come to you, or do characters come to you and tell you the idea?
I think it's a combination. I think I start with an idea, but as soon as I create these characters, it's like the characters take over. They take on a life of their own. Totally agree.
Yeah. That doesn't matter how you plot it or plan it. They lead you down different paths. Minor characters want major roles. Some demand their own book even, you know. We have no chance.
Yeah.
We have no choice.
It's so fun. It's amazing to me.
It's like
people
say about writer's block. I don't think there's such a thing as writer's block. I think it's that the characters don't want to talk to you that day because perhaps you ignored them the day before or you didn't listen when they told you something. And I think that's it. It's almost like, I don't know, it's a parallel universe and we're just the conduit that sort of brings them into this universe. And writers, 95% of writers will agree and tell you that. And
I think so.
People who don't write most likely think you're balmy. But it's true.
I know. I think so. And I can't fully know or visualize or understand my characters until I work through the book.
Yeah.
I learn more about them as I go. I guess they reveal themselves to me.
What about after you've written the book? One of the things I found is a few years back I was going home and I took a couple of copies of the book to take back for my family, and I'm stuck at the airport and there was a bit of delay, and of course I had a copy of the book with me, so I started reading it, and I'm reading it through and I'm laughing at bits and I'm thinking, why the hell am I laughing? I wrote the thing, you know. And then I'm reading it through, I said, where did those words come from? They're not words I use. Do you get that at all?
It is funny. Sometimes reading over when I'm proofreading or whatever, I'll be struck by, wow.
That's not bad.
Where did that come from?
It's almost like you get carried away. It's almost like, you know, these characters take over, and it's only as an after thing you go back and read it and think, and it's like an automated process. You don't know it's happened, as you say, until you proofread and stuff.
I don't know how you are, but sometimes when you write something over a period of time, you forget little details. I've learned to make notes because I've had characters whose eyes change from blue to brown.
Oh, right, yeah.
The story. So you have to be watching for those things.
Oh, crikey, yes. Yeah, you get to watch that, indeed. So you got the two books out. How's it been going then with these books?
It's been going well. Of course, the primary way to do sales is through online. I've had a few local stores that have carried copies, but especially during the last year, it seemed like the way to reach people is online.
Right.
So it's going well. I just some of my goals are to connect more with readers, so that I can kind of build that community, and we can, I can learn from them and continue to build a wider following.
Right.
But it's certainly rewarding. It is rewarding.
Oh, it certainly is. Well, what's also been rewarding is having you on the show today. Really enjoyed it. But what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you, so you can tell everybody where people can find out more about you and, of course, your books.
Great. Thank you. Well, thank you again for having me, Barry. And my books are Love Takes Flight and Love Takes the Lead. And they are available on any of the online stores where you like to buy your books. So Amazon, Barnes & Noble, just about anywhere you'd want to buy an online book. There's print copies as well as e-copies. And I am on Facebook, Margot Johnson, author, on Facebook. I'm in the midst of building a website, so that will be coming soon. I'm on Twitter, at Author Margot. And I would love to hear from readers or people who might be interested in talking about writing. So you can send me a message, send me an email. My email is authormargotjohnson@gmail.com. And that's Margot with a T, so if you spell it with a T, you'll make sure you get me.
Okay. Well, Margot, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. It's been really, really great chatting to you, and good luck with the books.
Thank you so much. It's been lots of fun.
My pleasure. Thank you. Well, there you go. My guest, Margot Johnson, M-A-R-G-O-T, Margot. Margot Johnson. And we've been talking to her about our romance books. A couple of great books there. A lot of people seem to enjoy them. And look out for them, mate. Margot Johnson. Well, that's it for now. I'll be back on Sunday with the music. So between 5 and 6 p.m. Eastern, we have Those Are the Days. Show number 211, I think it is. And we're starting 4 weeks of I'm in the mood for dancing, basically dance-type music. So that's our theme for the next 4 weeks. That will keep us going through the summer, won't it? And that's 5 till 6 p.m. Eastern. Then from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, here on New Visions Radio, we got the swinging 60s. Not just the British invasion, but everything from the 60s, the music-wise. Lots of foot-tapping stuff going on there, I can bet you anyway. Well, that's it. And then next Tuesday, Wednesday, of course, I'll be back with a couple more guests. But until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget... Make sure it's working.